Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone. I do have a request from you guys. If you guys can just take a moment and maybe make my Christmas morning. It's nothing big. I just want everybody to sit here and think about something. Just get an image in your mind right now. I want you to get an image that answers the question, what is the perfect Christmas? What is Christmas supposed to look like? Just take a few moments now and get an image in your head. Absolutely, presents for sure. And if you're anything like me, the image you have in your mind right now probably looks something similar to what you see in the movies, or maybe what you see on the postcards. I mean, it's a white Christmas. There's got to be snow on the ground. Not too much, not too little. You know, people have got to be in the mood. I mean, there's got to be Christmas lights up on every house, wreaths and garlands. Hopefully a Christmas Eve candlelight service with lots of carols. Christmas tree at home with, yes, the presents underneath. All the families together. Everybody's getting along. No one's fighting. Ha ha ha. The next morning, kids run down the stairs, get the presents and open up, and everybody gets everything they wanted. No one got socks. The next day, you've got Christmas Day service. Sermon is about little baby Jesus and the vicar doesn't take too long. Big Christmas dinner, and everybody talks about how this was the best Christmas ever. Everything was exactly the way it's supposed to be. Now we know there's never been a Christmas like that. Not once in the history of the world. For one, we know it doesn't snow when we want it to. I, for one, have seen far more wet, gray, gloomy Christmas mornings than I've seen white Christmases. You know, and we know that when families get together, it's not always smooth sailing. I mean, old habits reemerge, old hurts come up. People talk about politics, Trump, or the impeachment. You know, and we know that people don't always get what they want for Christmas. I mean, this morning, throughout the country, there are millions of disappointed children wearing new socks. We all know Christmas doesn't always go according to plan. But we can dream. We can dream of that one perfect Christmas where everything goes exactly the way it's supposed to. And unless you're here because a relative drug you out of bed this morning, that's one of the reasons why we show up to Christmas Day service. So we can hear about that first Christmas, that one perfect Christmas where there was no disruptions, where everything went exactly the way it was supposed to. Everything went according to plan. Except, of course, that first Christmas wasn't anything like that. Because even though we have all the Christmas pageants and the nativity scenes and carols about silent nights, we know that that first Christmas was pretty disruptive. It's easy to forget how disruptive that little baby Jesus actually was. Like, in real life, big ways. Mary, pregnant before marriage, that's a pretty big deal back then. Not so uncommon today, but try this on for size. Her fiancé wasn't the father. That kind of throws a wrench into the whole marriage thing. On top of that, Joseph has to bring his 9-month pregnant wife to a whole new town by foot. That's not an easy feat. On top of that, you have Mary and Joseph being visitors in an already overcrowded town. There was no room for them in the inn. I mean, I know there's plenty of locals around here that wish people would stop moving to the area. And then after all of that, they're little more than squatters. They're sleeping in a barn. Having a newborn is never easy. But having a newborn and being more or less homeless, that's got to be pretty overwhelming. You know, and I'm not saying any of this would have been easy without the newborn baby Jesus, but having a newborn in tow has got to have made it 10 times worse. I mean, really, the little baby Jesus disrupted Mary and Joseph's life, really messed up their plans. In fact, if you want a Christmas story that goes according to plan, you have to leave the manger completely. You've got to head back into town, back into Bethlehem, and talk to the people in the inn. You know, we don't ever hear about them directly, but these were the guys that had everything figured out. They had planned ahead. The government puts out a new rule. Everybody's got to go back to their hometown and be registered for a census. And so these guys, they pack up. They don't lose any time. They're industrious. They call ahead. They get a reservation at the local hotel, and now they're sleeping in a warm bed because they planned ahead. They didn't have disruptions. Everything went according to their plan. The problem with that Christmas story is Jesus never shows up. So, what about your Christmas story? What does your Christmas this year look like? Because I know in the busyness of the holidays, our worlds can narrow. It can shrink down to the piece of paper. A piece of paper with a plan written on it. We live and die by the plan. When to shop, who to invite, where to meet, and finally how to do it all in time. Because in the busyness of the holiday season, that's what we need, a plan. The who, the what, the when, the where, and the how. You know, and plans are a good thing. They give us that big picture. They show us all the steps along the way, the one, the two, and the three. You know, they tell us what we're supposed to pay attention to, and just as importantly, what we're not supposed to pay attention to. You know, they make sure we don't get bogged down in the little things, and they make sure that we don't miss any of the essential things. The problem comes up when we're following the wrong plan. Just by a show of hands here, who would be comfortable riding in a rocket ship that was designed and planned by a chef? No, he's a really good chef. He's the world's best chef. Now, okay. What about who wants to take a cruise liner across the ocean if the guy who designed the plan for the ship was a doctor? No, I wouldn't either. And that's because we know that a plan is only as good as the plan maker. We want our rocket scientists building rocket ships. We want our shipbuilders building ships. We want our chefs making the recipe. We want experts making the plans. And when it comes to our own lives, we like to think that we're the experts. After all, that's what we're doing. We've got the plan. We're the ones that make sure the things get done. We're the ones that make sure we invite the right people. We get Christmas dinner down. We do all the shopping we need to do. We get the Christmas decorations up. We are the experts. The problem about living that way is that we can end up just like the people sleeping warm and cozy in the beds in Bethlehem. We can miss out on God's amazing disruptions. You see, Jesus has a habit of disrupting our plans. He has a habit of making us rethink the way things are supposed to be. I mean, just think of the shepherds. They were doing what they were supposed to do at the exact right place, at the exact right time. They were keeping watch over their flocks out in the field by night. They weren't partying. They weren't crowding an already congested city. They were simply doing their job quietly and politely, making sure their sheep don't run off and cause problems for somebody else. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing. And that's exactly when their plan started falling apart. Because God had a different plan for them. It was not a plan that involved them staying out in the field watching over their sheep at night. No, it involved a plan that had an army of angels going out and celebrating, waking up this sleepy band of shepherds and disrupting their plans, about giving them a new plan, a better plan, a plan that involved going out and finding Mary and Joseph and this disruptive baby in a manger. A plan that involved going out and telling everyone they met along the way about this new Savior that was born that can somehow bring angels down from heaven. You see, it was a plan that had them glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen just as it had been told them. Just take a moment and imagine what the shepherds' Christmas story would have sounded like if they had stuck to the original plan. Starts off the same way. They're out in the field keeping watch over their sheep by night, doing everything they're supposed to be doing, and the angels show up, and they're singing. And you have one of the shepherds run over to the angels going, "Shh, it's the middle of the night. You're not supposed to be making all this noise." You know, and then the angels, they tell the shepherds about the newborn Savior, and they just kind of, "That sounds great and all, but we've got to stay here. We've got a job to do. We've got to stick to the plan." You know, after that, the angels, they go back off into heaven, and now the shepherds are alone, out in the middle of the field, with no one to tell. I don't know about you, but that's not the kind of Christmas story I want to hear. So thank God that's not what happened. No, instead, Mary and Joseph, they struggle through the disruptions of having a new baby. You know, the shepherds, they have their entire plans turned upside down, and it's through these mix-ups and these disruptions and these last-minute changes of plans that we end up with the one perfect Christmas. And none of that would have been possible without God disrupting our meticulously laid plans. None of that would have been possible without, you know, if Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, if they had tried to cling to their old plans. Because God had a better plan for them. He wanted each and every one of them to be part of the story of his son, Jesus. And God has a plan for you too. He wants you to be part of that story as well. You see, as we come together this Christmas morning, we aren't celebrating something that happened long ago and is far and distant. We're celebrating something that matters today. We're celebrating something that happens today. You see, at Christmas, God came down from heaven and became a human. A helpless baby in a manger. He was held. He was touched. He disrupted a lot of plans. But most of all, he came to live and to die and to be raised again so that everyone who believes in him would have eternal life. And today, this morning, this Christmas morning, Jesus comes to us again in the bread and wine of communion. You know, and maybe that's not what you were expecting. Maybe Christmas morning you were expecting a little bit more away in the manger rather than body and blood. But God has a different plan for you, a better plan. And a plan is only as good as the plan maker, and God is good. You see, with this body and blood, the same body and blood that slept in Mary's arms, God welcomes you into his own arms, to be held by him, to be touched by God, and to be forgiven of everything, every ignored opportunity, every disruption, every sin. God came as a little baby in the manger to forgive you. And that's why God comes to us again today. Thanks be to God.